ever been discussed.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you, Nancy. Is Don Mitchell there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Representative Finkelstein, members of the committee, my name is Don Mitchell. I'm an attorney in Anchorage. I guess as a threshold matter, I should indicate that I don't believe that I am personally going to be affected by the outcome of this legislation one way or the other. I have been a landlord in the past. I didn't enjoy it. I don't intend to repeat that unpleasant performance in the future. I'm also getting old enough that I doubt that my behavior will put me at risk as a tenant with respect to the standards of behavior that are set out in this bill and should be enacted by some mistake. I do have a couple of comments that have led me to come down on a Friday afternoon to participate in this process. I usually don't do that sort of thing. Normally, I figure that the reason that I elect people to represent me in Juneau is so they will protect me and the political culture of which I am a part from precisely this kind of legislation. And it was for that reason that I was really quite first startled, then saddened, and then offended when I actually had this bill brought to my attention and read both the substantive provisions and then the part at the top that indicated who the co-sponsors were. Basically, my policy concerns with this bill are two or three. The first is that as a lawyer who has spent 15 years dealing with legislation that your body periodically enacts and also that the Congress periodically enacts, I think that this bill as drafted is incomprehensible gibberish. I have seen Mr. Clarkson's memoranda that reaches that same conclusion along with your own lawyers. I heard a moment ago a member of the committee indicate that she did not understand the legal effect of this bill, and I heard the primary sponsor indicate in answer to a question that he didn't have a clue as to what the legal result this language would mandate. That being the case, I can see no policy reason whatsoever why this bill needs to move prior to the adjournment of the session. Moving this kind of legislation on that kind of time frame does nothing except add, I think, to the legislature's public image problems here at home when every year after the smoke clears, more and more citizens find out what the legislature has done unsupervised. So I think as a policy matter, just because of the drafting problems, this bill has no reason to move. However, that isn't really what offends me the most. What offends me the most is that this bill has, in a very imaginative way, cross-pollinated both a vindictive attitude with respect to tenants with more pandering on the drug problem. Usually, at least you can keep track of both of those kinds of tendencies in the legislature because they are pursued on separate tracks. To my knowledge, this is the first time in 15 years I've seen them cross-pollinated, and I suppose that is a landmark occasion of dismal sorts. With respect to the landlord-tenant provisions of the bill, one of the constant refrains I've heard about this is how put upon landlords are. Well, having been a landlord myself, capital, no one mandates that capital be invested in rental property. You can just as easily go into the stock market, it can just as easily go into starting a lumber and pulp business, or it can just... When a person decides to... So then I think the next major point that I was getting to was how offensive offended I was and saddened when I read the text of this bill and then saw who the co-sponsors were, because it had cross-pollinated a vindictive set of measures related to tenants with pandering on the drug problem, which is much more complicated in this bill, would indicate, or the past actions of the legislature also would indicate. With respect to the landlord-tenant components, as I was saying, people that have money make conscious, hopefully well-intentioned and well-informed decisions about where to invest it. And when someone decides to invest in rental property, they know or should look up the rules that describe how society has said that that capital can be used and what kind of a return on that capital that investor can expect. And everyone knows for many years what the balance the legislature has struck between the rights of that capital on the one hand and the rights of tenants on the other. To upset it, it seems to me, for no particularly good reason, I find to be unusually vindictive. It would be just like saying that it's unfair if I have capital and rather than wanting to buy apartment buildings, I want to buy a lumber and pulp mill in Ketchikan, and geez, society acting through the legislature has come in and put a lot of costs on my ability to make a buck by having to comply with environmental laws. That's really unfair to me and my capital. Well, it is unfair to me and my capital, but that is what society has said that capital is going to be subjected to if it wants to engage in that activity. That's exactly what happens with capital that is invested in rental real estate. So the other witnesses have talked about why this is a bad idea with respect to landlord-tenant law, and I'll let it go at that. The last thing, before I get to the thing that sticks in my craw the most, is that for what it's worth, and I think it's probably worth very little, I would like to go on record as saying that I find the legislature's response to the pervasive drug abuse in our society to be at best unhelpful and at worst sadly and disgustingly cynical. First of all, as you know, there's a big difference between drug use and drug abuse, and the idea that because the problems dealing with why society is abusing drugs are too difficult for people with election certificates to take on, it's much easier to take on the issue of drug use, we've been led down a road that's put me at risk for smoking marijuana in my own home, to the legislature, and now apparently would allow me to be evicted in theory if I was 15 years younger, totally on the basis of rumor and innuendo, as opposed to any hard evidence. And I find that to be a very sad day for our political culture. I realize that that it's doubtful that those sagely remarks will make any difference in that building, but I think for the record, because that attitude permeates this legislation, as near as I've been able to figure out what permeates this legislation, I thought it was important to say for the record. The last thing, Mr. Chairman, is the major reason that I'm down here. I don't normally show up at these kinds of events, but when this bill was brought to my attention, I got on the phone, and I phoned around your building to find out what the deal was. And what I found out that the deal was that many members of the House dislike this bill, but that this bill is greased because it is sponsored by a very popular member of the Senate who just so happens, as luck would have it, to be the co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee in the waning days of the legislature, and he wants this bill. Since that member is an old and dear friend of mine, I found that really quite saddened. I hope it's not true. I have no direct personal knowledge it's true other than some of you and some of your employees telling me that it is, which I guess is the kind of reputation innuendo that could get someone evicted from their apartment. But the thing at least there's some evidence that, in fact, that may be the case, is that this bill doesn't have a fiscal note. Now, anyone with any intellectual honesty can look at this legislation and say that it's not entitled to a fiscal note. It is beyond me and my past experience with the legislature. Of course, by not having a fiscal note, it avoids the Finance Committee, which happily, of course, allows if the bill is greased, it
Don, this is David Anchorage. I'm going to have to sort of cut you off. Just in response, this bill is in grease. There's, as you know, for falling things, rarely is anything greased. We all do respect and enjoy Senator Pershaw, but it doesn't mean we always agree with all of his ideas. The bill does have a fiscal note from the Department of Law. It'll, I assume, inevitably get a Finance Committee referral. It's also got a Judiciary Committee referral. Odds are long against its passage this year, that's for sure. So I just want to reassure you on that.
That's great news. The last time I looked, it did not have a fiscal note. And also, as I said, I certainly hope that the information I was given out of your building is, in fact, untrue. And exactly what you told me is, in fact, the state of affairs, because I do think that it is the proper course for any piece of legislation. And I guess the last thing, back to the political culture, is, and I'll take this up with the co-sponsor the next time I lay eyes on him physically, is, you know, as this bill coming from Eagle River doesn't bother me at all. I think it is a correct reflection of the political philosophy of many Alaskans who live out there, which is why I don't. But I think that former Senator Fisher or former Senator Josephson or former Senator Kraft would be killing this bill right now if they were representing me down there. And I'm shocked to find that this bill is not only not being killed by my representative, but is in fact being advocated by him. And as I said, I'm sorry he's not in the room, and I do intend to take this matter up with him at the first mutually convenient occasion. And on that dismal note, Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to answer any questions, of which I suspect there are none.
Well, thank you, Don, and your two representatives are pretty well situated to deal with these measures as well, one being on finance, other chair and rules committee. And I don't know if you saw the article on reapportionment, but I might be representative pretty soon, too. So, Jamie, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Jamie, we're going to have at most, like, 2.5 minutes. We're going to lose our telecom as well as our members. So anything you want to offer within that time would be great.
Let me relate a couple. I've already submitted written comments, so I'm not going to go over those again. Let me relate a couple of incidents. I moved recently into Spinard, I did move next to a location that was, there's been fights, there's been shootings, there's been drug deals every night, long into the night, and I've gone over there to complain, but McDonald's just won't budge. This bill is geared towards people who have nothing, essentially, and the assumption that tenants, I'll echo the assumption that tenants are the ones responsible for organizing crack houses and for organizing shooting galleries, I think is fundamentally incorrect. The police chief of L.A., of great esteem held by us all, Dale Gates, was bulldozing suspected crack houses a little while back and only expected they were rentals. This bill, I think, goes across purposes. It is a bill that, in some sense, wants to revise the landlord-tenant law, in another sense, it wants to go after crack houses. It does neither job well. It is extremely muddy. I can imagine only that it will confuse tenants and landlords alike. I will say that in 4 years of the ACLU and taking complaints from the public on all kinds of issues, that I have never really heard a complaint from a landlord about difficulty in getting somebody evicted. I've heard lots of complaints from tenants who are facing the street. And I am usually in the position of saying, sorry, have fun on the street. I'm a little tired of doing that, frankly. I don't think that a bill that weakens rights, particularly in the bicentennial of the Bill of Rights, is going to do anybody much good. It's a sort of less an inspiring way to celebrate the Bill of Rights. And I might mention that the Virginia copy of the Bill of Rights will be in Juneau on July 4th, so look at it with clean hearts and consciences, I hope. We are disturbed by a number of provisions of the bill. And looking through it, actually, I think that McDonald's probably does fit the nuisance part of the bill. But I don't expect anyone's going to be making the move anytime soon. What I urge you simply to do is to step back and to figure out exactly what this bill is intending to do. Is this bill intending to go after crack houses and shooting galleries, or is it intending to revise the landlord-tenant law? Once you step back and figure that out, I think it's imperative that you at least draft something that's clear, and one that I think gives a fair balance between attacking both
no one else in Anchorage who hasn't testified? Okay. Well, we've got a anyone here in Anchorage who hasn't testified? Wish to testify? Okay. No, excuse me, Juneau here. Anyone here in Juneau who hasn't testified? Wish to testify?
Does it look like it?
No one's raising their hand up. Well, we'll, there's no more business before the committee. We'll adjourn. Thank you.